Psalm 126 is the psalm that we're looking at today, and it's the seventh in the series that we've been looking at, the Songs of Ascent, or the Songs of Degrees. And this psalm, Bible scholars believe, was written by those who had returned from the captivity in Babylon, Persia. They had been in long captivity, for 70 years, and so this psalm was written during the course of that as a result of their joy at what God had done and how he had wrought this victory for them. I would just look at the first verse here. It says, "When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.'" You know, it's the same for us too. When the Lord works a victory in our life, gives us a deliverance, a victory, you know, we are glad. Our lips are filled with praise and joy. But not only do we notice, those round about us, our friends, our family, our acquaintances may notice too, and give thanks to the Lord too. So this is what happens here: is that even the nations saw and looked and recognized a great miracle that had happened when the captives came back from Persia. Because it says here, they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." You know, God had raised up a mighty king by the name of Cyrus. In fact, he's mentioned in Isaiah 150 years before he even came on the scene. And God raised him up. And they had been in captivity for 70 years. And Cyrus made a decree that they could go back and rebuild their temple and have their worship again. Then it says in verse 4, "Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." And the south here is actually the Negev desert. It's the southern part of Judah, very dry. And a stream in that area would be very refreshing and life-giving. And they were saying that their return from captivity would just be like that. It would be like life to their soul. It would be like water or streams in a very dry desert. And then we get in the conclusion of the psalm, it's only six verses, and these very well-known verses that sometimes quoted in hymns and so on. Verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And then verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them." And so verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And indeed, Israelites, you know, the Jewish captives had shed many tears during the years of their captivity, especially when they first went into captivity. But now they're reaping in joy. There's a reward. There's a fruit for the things that they had suffered. You know, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, you know, "You sorrow now, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." And so this is the thing for us as Christians too. We may be passing through times of sorrow, of grief, of trial, but if we go through it with the Lord, there will be fruit coming out of it, even if we can't see it now. But notice in verse 5 it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." But then the pronoun is changed in verse 6. "He that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And we can't help but think of the Lord Jesus when we read this verse. That he is the Christ, you know. And on earth, he was the man of joy. You don't see him, you know, laughing or anything, but I'm sure that he was a joyful man. But he was characterized as this, a sorrow, the man of joy. But it says in Hebrews chapter 12, "It was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame." There was joy at the end of the road, as Psalm 16 says, "Pleasures forevermore." The joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him would be that he would have redeemed ones. The fruit of the travel of his soul would be there to share in the victory with him. That was the joy that was set before him. So he endured the suffering. He endured the pain. He bore the sorrow of being a holy one, the only true holy one, the divine one, here as a man in a world of sin and sorrow. And so there couldn't be but sorrow in him. He would have felt it divinely, the state of man. Yet the joy was always before him, and he's the man of joy now at the right hand of God. He was the man of sorrows on the earth, but he's the man of joy now. So this psalm is only the Psalm 126 is only six verses. It's very short, but it's very precious too. And is precious to our hearts, that if we go forth weeping and bearing precious seed, the things that we do for Christ, even if we don't see fruit right away, if we do it in communion with Him, in communion with the One who is the Man of Sorrows, that we will doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing our sheaves with us. We will partake in that harvest as well. Well, may the Lord bless you as you meditate on the psalm. This will be the last one for a little while. I'm away for 7 or 8 days up in Ontario again. Doubtful if I'll be able to record any. But when I get back home here in my study, I'll start them off again. And we're getting there. We're getting almost towards the latter part of the book of the Psalms. And it's amazing that the Lord has helped me through this. But I hope you've gotten some encouragement from it. And I hope you have a blessed and godly day. Amen.